Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our scripture today comes from Matthew, the first chapter, the 18th through the 21st verses. Hear now the word of God. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. About a month ago, the National Basketball Association had their annual draft day, or draft days. Each of those teams of the NBA were trying to draft a player or players that will change their team, maybe even change their city. All of them were looking for the next LeBron James or the next Steph Curry or Magic Johnson or whomever. Back in the early part of this year, the NFL had their draft day, and Joe Burrow, the quarterback for the LSU Tigers, the one who led the LSU to the national championship, was chosen first. The coaching staff, the city of Cincinnati, they were looking forward to him being there to change the whole city, to be their savior, so to speak, lead them, just like he led LSU to the Super Bowl and win it. We all want to have superstars. We want to be surrounded by people who are the very best, who are the most qualified, to have the biggest heart, who are willing to do and go the extra mile to be successful. Colleges, universities want the very best students enrolled in their schools. They want the best teachers. They want it all. That's the way we do it. We're competitive. But interestingly, in God's economy, sometimes God seems to choose maybe not the best, maybe not the one who is the most qualified, the most prepared. I was doing a quick glance through the Bible, and I landed in the sixth chapter of Genesis, and I ran into Noah. God chose a 600-year-old man to build an ark, to be the one who would repopulate the world. Come on, God. There could be somebody better than Noah, couldn't it? You don't have to go very many chapters. And then you see Abram, a 75-year-old man, and God says, "Follow me, go where I'm going, and I will make you the father of many nations. Your descendants will be as numerous as the number of sand on the seashore, as many as the stars in the clouds in the sky." And yet Sarah had his descendant, Isaac. At 100, she was 90, he was 100. You move to his son, Isaac's son, Jacob. He was not the firstborn, he was the second. He was a trickster, a liar, cheater. Yet he was the one who was chosen, whose name would eventually be changed to Israel. 12 sons. His 11th son, Joseph, he was a spoiled brat. He had dreams, and he would rub those dreams into the egos of his older brothers to the point where he pushed their buttons so hard that they wanted him dead. But he was the one that was chosen. You move to the judges. Oh, boy, was that a group of people. And then you go to Moses, a stutterer. And God says, "Moses, go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go." A stutterer to talk to Pharaoh, to power. And we move on through all the way through. We move to the king, the first king of Israel, Saul, from the smallest of the tribes, a Benjamite, And we move from him to David, the eighth son of Jesse, who ended up being an adulterer and a murderer. And the list and the hits keep coming, coming, and coming. Somehow, God has a way of using a crooked, bent, knotty, cracked stick to draw straight lines. He's done it throughout redemptive history, using the most ill-equipped, the most unlikely people to draw straight lines to redemption. And so we have that throughout the Bible till we get to Joseph. Strangely enough, in him being the most ill-equipped, the most unprepared, I don't know how anybody could be prepared. What we know about Joseph was he was a just man. It would take a just man, a man who was truly mature to be able to do what God asked him to do. And even in asking him, he had his doubts. He wasn't certain. A lot had to happen from the moment he found out Mary was pregnant with a baby that was not his to the day that they were in Bethlehem when Jesus was born. There had to be a lot of convincing. But the angel of the Lord came to Joseph and said, "Do not be afraid to marry Mary." And he didn't. He wasn't. And he did. You see, somewhere along the way, Joseph knew that God was with him. God would always be with him. God would not leave him alone at all. I don't know about you, but yes, I do know about you. You are like me. You are where I am. We're in the middle of a 1 year, 40-year pandemic wandering in the desert, ill-equipped, not prepared, in the least, to do what we're all being forced to do. I never thought that I would have to learn how to run a teleprompter. I didn't think I would ever have to do selfies and do videos of myself and send them and upload them. I didn't ever think I'd have to learn how to work live streaming equipment. I didn't know I would have to do those sorts of things. Didn't think I'd have to ever do a remote virtual stewardship campaign or to preach to an empty congregation, to an empty sanctuary, to not be able to go to the hospital to visit sick members or to perform or officiate at a funeral or a wedding. I never thought that I was not prepared for that, but neither are you. Neither are those on the front lines, those who work in hospitals, doctors and nurses, technicians in every aspect of a hospital or at a fire station or the police department or EMTs, all of those on the front line, the new pressures that they are under. Parents of small children, people who are no longer able to work at their place of employment, have to work at home remotely, and their children cannot go to school, so they're having to make sure their children are learning virtually and in front of a computer while their kids are asking them 1,000 questions in a day. And how are they able to get the work done? The pressure. I'm not prepared for this. I'm ill-equipped. I'm the least equipped person to do the things I'm supposed to do. How do I keep my children's mental health up? How do I keep this exposure? I'm not equipped. We're all there. All society. The whole world. We wonder, how do I keep my family together? How do I keep us healthy? How do I keep us whole? Things that we've held dear, rite of passages, events in our lives that have always been there, things that we've looked forward to for our whole life are no longer being able to be done or have been postponed or they've been done in a way that minimizes their significance. We're all there. We're like so many people who've been chosen by God for such a time as this, for the Josephs. And so we wonder. But we're really just like Joseph in so many ways. You see, God has not left us. God did not put us in this place, or we didn't arrive at this place to be left alone. He will never desert us. God will see us through it as long as we continue to put one foot in front of the other. Continue to rely on God, to look to God for help and guidance, and to look to the people of God to do and help and to be and work along with God in all things. And in the process, we will see the glory of God in this Christmas season. You see, that's what we see. We see the glory of God in Christmas. When you look at the Christmas story, when you look at it in a way where you see those unqualified, the least qualified, the marginalized people turn that one event of the birth of Jesus into the glory of Christmas, an event that has been so glorious for 2,000 years, and even today we celebrate the glory of Christmas because the most unqualified, the most underprivileged turned that event into a glorious event that we celebrate today. Even today, we're called to turn this day and this season into a glorious event because God is with us just as he was with them. I pray that in the coming weeks, that not only we will never forget that God is with us, God has not given up on us, and we should not give up on him. Let us pray. Lord God, give us peace this day. Peace and assurance that you are with us. You have not given up on us. You will see us through this pandemic. You will see us through, and in the process of seeing us through, we will be giving you glory and honor in this season of Advent and Christmas. Help us, O God, in all that we do. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.